Okay, yeah, give me the 5 minutes on. All right. Howdy, Grateful Recovering Addict, Michelle. Hey, wow, look at all these miracles in here. This is awesome. So I thought I'd take you on a journey, although Bruce said a whole lot. We were sitting up here cracking up. I don't even know the guy, and we have so much in common, you know, which is, you know, when... Oh, okay, hi. Welcome. Anyway, so we were up here laughing, and I thought that I'd take you on this journey of, when I was born Michelle, and when I was 3, I shared a bottle of Windex with this kid next door, and we had to have our stomachs pumped. But I was a sharer, right from when I was little, I was a sharer. And I lost that person somewhere. And I was also born with a small bladder, and I wet the bed till I was out of high school. So I never felt good enough. I was kicked out of Brownies. They didn't want me in Catholic school. And I barely graduated because they just didn't want me to come back. And then I graduated, and there was dope. And that was my best friend, I thought, for that hot minute or whatever. My first habit, and I stayed in the grip for over 40-something years. And it wasn't fun, but I thought that was the only way I knew how to live. Because being responsible and doing something as a productive member of society, feeling like I was always not good enough, like I knew how to not be good enough. I wore that real well. And failing and all that. I took that on real well. So the 60s came and I started shooting dope, and it was jails, institutions. And, you know, I've been in every county in New Jersey. I mean, not in New Jersey, in Maryland. I'm originally from Maryland. I moved to Jersey about 20-some years ago. My friends are all, a lot of them still here in Maryland. And, you know, I proceeded to go to Second Genesis and this one and that one and Monmouth County Jail and PG County Jail and Alexandria County Jail. And and then I went out to California and did Civil Brent and, you know, and Teen Challenge and some other things, came back and did Second Genesis and failed, you know, just, my first rehab actually though was DC General in the psych ward, because they didn't have these plush psych, they didn't have these plush institutions that they have today, and they think they got it bad. I was over in the corner while they were shuffling around on Thorazine and mumbling and bumbling, and we were over in the corner just puking and kicking, and like, you know, that's all we had, DC General, St. Elizabeth's, over in the corner in the psych ward. Crazy. But I was crazy. I just didn't know it. I was too crazy to know it, you know. That was part of my problem. But so I've been in a lot of jails, a lot of institutions, and then, I swore I wasn't going to do this. So then the 80s came, and AIDS hit, and of course part of my consequences of using is I got the virus. So now I have an excuse to use. You know, and my mother should really know this, you know, because it was always all about me and poor me, you know. And I lost a lot of friends to this disease. And, you know, I had had Hep C already. I just didn't know it. You know, they didn't call it that then. And I spent like a month out in California in the hepatitis ward, crawling in there like I did every place else, yellow, asking them to save my life so I could walk out the door and use again. Remember, failure, you know, that's what I knew. I knew how to do that. I knew the streets. I knew how to survive. You know, I thought I was really cool when I wound up walking away from an apartment out in Monmouth County and wound up down in D.C. at 14th and U in an abandominium that we had all fixed up, you know. Just like I fixed up my jail cell with a cardboard box and a sheet, and I thought I was saying something. That's all I knew, man. That's all I friggin' knew. And, you know, I really thought I was somebody because I left this apartment and wound up down there, but I had a car. And the people that I was staying in the abandominium with, they didn't have a car. So I was somebody, or I thought, you know, and I couldn't get in within a 12-block radius from the drug fair up to 14th, 16th, you know. I couldn't leave there for like a year. What a prison, you know. And I never thought that would happen to me back in the day, you know. And so I moved to New Jersey, and I, you know, changed a lot of things. And I've had sponsors in this program. I don't know if any of you know, Doreen was my first sponsor, and I never used her, and she loved me. I need to give a shout out to my man from Montgomery General Hospital, Big Norman, who tried to save my life a gazillion times, and I just walked back out and used. I mean, he would pull me back from the brinks of death, and with staff or whatever, and I would just walk back out and use. And though I would tell him I wasn't going to, of course, he used to call me Queen Slime. I didn't know why. He used to throw a case of prune juice up on the table and tell everybody to heat it up and say, "What's Queen Slime telling you now?" You know, I didn't get it. I didn't understand back then, you know. I didn't know the reality of the fact of how true what he was saying was. So I had to keep going and going. And the grip, oh my God. You know, so I moved to Jersey. We got a house. I got in a relationship. In the end, well, so in the end, I could have wrote a country song. I lost my house, my cat, my dog, my man left me, and here I was alone on a walker. Seriously, I forgot to tell you that after I caught the virus, I also got hit by a drunk driver. Alcohol is a drug, you guys, and he really destroyed my life. A lot more than it already was, because now I even had the virus and an excuse to use, because I spent 5 months in a wheelchair, 4.5 years on crutches. Julie and Debbie know that. And then I spent another 25 years walking with a cane. And, of course, you know, I had to use then, right? Definitely. Of course. And, you know, a lot of it, I did have to use something. But it definitely wasn't dope, oxycontins, or methadone. That was not, you know, I paid a lot of money to be depressed. I paid a lot of money to be depressed, you guys. So I laugh a lot now. I do, you know. Man, I mean, seriously. So in the end, there I was, me and my walker, and my mother. I also, like I said, I lost my relationship in the house and all that, and I had an apartment. And my mother died, and God rest her soul. Oh, and I want to thank this convention for asking me to speak. I forgot to do that. Thank you. So I lost my mom, and, you know, I almost grieved her too long. And 2 years later, I woke up one day, and I looked in the mirror, and it was at night, and I was on the walker, and I scared myself. I literally scared myself, and out of my mouth, now I couldn't even put a sentence together. You know, it was how much, where are we going, what doctor. That was about the extent of my vocabulary, and I'm serious. You know, dreams, I had none. I don't even know how to spell dreams at the time. Serenity, are you kidding me? What was that? So, you know, I scared myself, and out of my mouth came, this is not the legacy I want to leave. And I woke up the next morning, me and my walker, Bojangles, that was my walker's name, literally a walker I'm talking about, because now my leg was about 3.5 inches shorter at the time. So we woke up and we started detoxing. I have quit smoking in this process. I have quit cursing in this process. I am not a pathological liar. I am not a kleptomaniac. I am not a dope fiend hooker from U Street downtown. I am a proud member and graduate of DC jail that I, just for today, I never have to go back to, thank God, or any institution. So, you know, and we come into this process, and so I quit, you know, I started detoxing, and 2 months in, or no, about a month, I found out I had AIDS dementia, and now I had to start meds. Now, I've had the virus almost 34 years, praise God. Whoop, whoop, to God, yeah, God, yeah, he's awesome, right? Mine is, anyway. I know you got a God, too, I can tell. So, everybody's glowing out there to me. So, anyway, you know, I forgot where I was at. Huh? Oh, yeah, I had AIDS dementia. Had is the operative word. Had. Seriously. Okay. So, and they got me in health aid, and I couldn't remember my underwear to the bathroom. Like, seriously, I was bad. But I started medications within a month. I was non-detectable. The next year after, and I'm talking, I was on enough methadone and clonopins and stuff to kill a rhinoceros, and I was just too freaking stubborn to lay down. You know? A good kick probably would have done it, but on those clonopins and stuff, you know, it was like, I would have told a stop sign to get out of my way. So it's like, are you serious? Move, man. Because I'm coming through. So, so my second year, I decided I had this brilliant idea that now I needed to get a hip replacement. Why not, right? Because all those other years they had told me I couldn't because I'd had staph and I'd had a bone infection, osteomyelitis and stuff from not taking care of myself when I got hit, you know, because I kept using, right? So they told me I couldn't get one. So now I'm going to go search out a doctor to give me a hip replacement. And the first doctor I had, he decided that I was doing just fine on the walker. And I proceeded to tell him, well, maybe you'll deal with this pain, but I won't. And I sashayed right out of his office with my walker. Sashayed, I said, girls, you know what I'm talking about, right? I thought I was all that on the walker, right? Right. I got right out of that office and found another doctor. And he did my hip and he stretched my legs and I went away to a couple of nursing homes for a couple of months and I walked out of there on ibuprofen. Now, I'm not saying I didn't take meds in the thing, and that's a whole nother meeting for a whole nother time. We do recover. Had talks about some time in an addict's recovery. If you live long enough to maybe looking at maybe you might get life alert, you might just have to take meds at some point in your life, you know. And I'm pushing looking at maybe life alert might be a good thing for me to have in my apartment. You know, I've fallen and I can't get up kind of thing. Who would have thought at 18 using, first of all, who would have ever thought that I would live? So, but that's, my God had a plan. He had a most awesome plan. He had a dream for me. You know, so I got my hip and I joined a gym, and I like to tell you now I'm out there swing dancing, so, yeah, I mean, you know, go figure. And then the next year I had to go through a Hep C treatment. God is good, you know. It almost didn't work, and then I had prayer, and I asked God to help me, and He did. And I went through a lot. Hep C treatment was almost worse than kicking, for sure. I was like kicking all over again, and because I have the virus, I was in and out of the hospital a lot. And this gets me back to recovery is a reality. You can recover. It's how bad do we want it? How bad did I want it? Well, when I found out I had AIDS dementia, when I stopped using, I wanted it. When I came in these rooms, I'm not the brightest candle on the cake, but I knew steps worked for people. And I had never done steps because, you know, I've got ADHD and OCD, and I always say as long as I don't get beat in here, I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. Right? Stick with the winners. So I go through the Hep C thing, and I make it out of there, and I've got the most awesome sponsor. I've got a home group. I'm involved. I found my purpose. I had to become an addict to find a purpose, and that's to help somebody that's still sick and suffering. Because God only knows, how dare me not? How dare me not give back when people that aren't even living today tried to help me so much and gave me so much. And my higher power had my back from the time I shared that bottle of Windex with that little boy. And he loved me so much that he kept showing me this program. I lost a brother to this disease the day before his 25th birthday. So I didn't question why God saved me. He had a purpose, and I was going to find that purpose. And today I'm very much involved in H&I. I've been accepted to go into the jails in two counties where I live. Are you kidding me? Me? Awesome. Recovery is a reality. You know, and I started doing step work. I mean, you know, my first step. It's one thing to admit I could admit I was a junkie. I thought that was cool, you know, but I wouldn't surrender. So accepting and surrender, two different things, you know. And I had to really surrender to the fact that, you know, I was powerless and I needed some help. And my life had definitely become unmanageable. So I got second step, and there I began my recovery, my second step, and realizing that all the insanity, I didn't have to keep doing. See, I didn't come here to be crazy and clean. This is not the 4-H club. I told you I got kicked out of Brownies, so why would I want to come into Narcotics Anonymous and sit around and be crazy and clean? Fun, yes, but not crazy as far as repeating all those horrible mistakes that kept me using, you know. And besides, I sponsor people, and you know, I take sponsorship very seriously. I'm responsible for their little lives to give back what I know is a true Narcotics Anonymous message, and to help them give them what was so freely given to me. I am so grateful. And Bruce was saying, you know, a grateful addict will never use. And I didn't even know what freaking gratitude was. Because I couldn't even be grateful for having my wake-up shot because I never had one. So, you know, I really didn't know what gratitude was until I got clean and went through what I went through. And you could have never told me I could go through those first 3 years in this process and do that stuff without using. You could have never told me that. So, you know, there was a God that stepped in, and I started working steps, and I got a third step, and I already had a relationship with my higher power who loves me. It says four steps, fearless moral inventory. Well, I did everything else fearless. Oh, now you're going to get in here, and you're going to get scared, and oh, I got to trust somebody and share it with them? I don't think so. But I would trust that dope man. I'd trust putting my money in that hole or coming up in that bucket or doing whatever he handed me back thinking, thank God I never got rat poisoning or poison or whatever that stuff is. You know, I got enough stuff. But, you know, and so how dare me, you know, not trust another. I found a great sponsor, somebody I could trust. And I had a relationship with my higher power. And I have a relationship with Michelle today. And I love myself. And I'm a woman of integrity in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not a hooker from 14th Street. I'm not a jailbird. You know, I'm not any of those things today. And really, I never was, but I just was lost in the sauce, if you know what I mean, and just took that power, the greatest power of all, and trashed it. And that's the only way I knew how to live until this program showed me a new way of life. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, you know? Like, I would never have lived this long, that's for sure. And my last 6 years and 4 months have just been beyond. And I know we used to say, you know, I heard it said, like, beyond your wildest dreams. Well, I didn't have a dream, so how could I know what beyond was? You know, it's beyond anything that I didn't have a dream of, because I've seen rainbows. I have friends that love me that I hurt, that I stole from, that I lied to, that through my ninth step have forgiven me and loved me, you know. My ninth step was awesome. Making amends, I did not say I was sorry to one single person. I hate that, I'm sorry. So I just thanked them because they had all been in my life. You know, even my ex, we have a great relationship today. And I never... In fact, when I worked my ninth step with him, I actually cried because he had told his new wife that if Michelle winds up in the hospital, I will be there. Like, are you kidding me? I thought he hated me. No, he hated the drugs. He's got 20 years. I do not. So that just shows you. Like, he just hated the disease, and he couldn't take it anymore. But I took it so personally. Like, what do you mean you don't want to deal with me anymore? You don't want to deal with me on this couch, nodding and burning your carpet over and over? And, like, and then let's get another carpet, and, you know. I mean, like, I was never present. We'd go to the movies, and I'd wake up at the end of it and have to ask him what it was about. And like, or I'd wake up, oh, that was awesome, and I hadn't even seen nothing. You know, I mean, seriously. So I was not present in my life, and today I'm very present, and I'm present for other people also, which is an awesome thing, because nobody even wanted to be around me, and if they did, it was just because of what I could give up, you know, and I gave up a lot to the disease of addiction, and I don't choose to give up any more of Michelle. To no friggin' drug, no crazy lifestyle. If the drugs don't kill you, the lifestyle will. You know, I don't want that anymore. Like I said, I am a woman of integrity, and I choose to stay that because I love being who I have become. You know, I never even thought I'd live, like I said, to get Life Alert. But here I am. My little friend over here in the blue, I met her out in the hall. I don't know her name. She's not looking at me right now. But we were talking out in the hall, and we were sharing stuff. And see, that's how we do. And she came to support me tonight. Like, I, you know, go figure. Like, but we do. The message is hope. The promise is freedom. And that's freedom not just from active addiction. That was freedom from me. I would not let you do, are you kidding me? I would never let you do to me what I did to me. Never. Me and my walker would have had words with you. And the Klonopins and whatever, you know. But, no, I would never let anybody treat me the way I treated myself. But I did, you know. Dogged myself. I drug myself to the graves and just was too stubborn to lay down and bury myself. I have claustrophobia. I really didn't want to get in that coffin unless God could give me a sunroof or something, you know. But I love this program. The steps are what save my soul. The traditions are what keep us from killing each other at conventions and being rude and loving each other. Oh my God, look at all the love in this room and downstairs. And the next 3 days, you guys enjoy yourself. This is an awesome convention. I've been here quite a few times. Hi. I'm here tonight clean. Thank God. Yay, Michelle. Narcotics Anonymous. I've been to 5 worlds. I've been to 2 clean. God is good. Right? I lost my methadone in the airport at the California convention. I did. And I told my ex, I got to go home. I mean, I was big time strung out. Do you know he went back to the airport that next morning and found it? I wound up staying at the convention. That is good. I don't remember much, but I was there. And you know what? I'm going to say this. Keep coming. If you're high here, keep coming. You know, if you're just a little bit crazy, keep coming. I mean, we do hear stuff. I might not have thought I heard what Norman or Doreen or Carmelita or any of them were telling me, Debbie and them. I might not have thought I heard it, but I did. When I was ready, all that started making sense. And, you know, and I realized, oh my God, what have they done that I haven't done? What do I need to do to be where I want to be? Believe me, an Olympic athlete does not wake up and just become a gold medalist. You know, I have to want this, and I do. And, you know, I believe in the power of positive thinking. I don't spend too much time in any given day being depressed, because like I told you, I spent a lot of money being depressed. And me and depression, that is not a vacation I want to take. So on any given day, I will flip the switch real quick. You know, when I was on Interferon, me and Madea movies and Eddie Murphy movies, that was my best friend. Comedy. I love to laugh. It gets me through a lot, but I'm very serious about my recovery. I'm serious about the people I put in my life today. Because you know what? I am energy, if you couldn't tell. And the energy we put out is the energy we get back. And I truly believe that, you know. And so if I'm going to fill myself with a whole bunch of people that are not doing what I want to do in life or be what I want to be, and not that I reject them, I don't. I help a lot of people. But if I want to hang around with the right people, then, you know, I'm going to emulate what I see. What we see is what we do. And that's how Narcotics Anonymous works. I am only a product of all the information, a parrot of what the information that was given to me that I put back out, except for my walker. That was me and me. But so today I choose to live by the steps. I apply them in my life. And I love everybody. People are leaving. Maybe I bored you. But no, I'm just kidding. So if you're new, keep coming. Please keep coming. We need you. I came to Narcotics Anonymous for a couple of reasons. You know, I wanted to have a new way of life, and I also wanted to help somebody. And I wanted to be happy. Happy, joyous, and free. And I am all of those things today. I am. And so I'm just grateful, and thanks for letting me share. Namaste, namaste.